This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cohn, and it's 3 p.m. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, Coney, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday. Yeah, Friday. It's cold again. It's March 5th. It's 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart, all of us. For the next 4 hours, though, we're together. The other 20, though, that's your responsibility.
That's your responsibility.
Yeah. Do with it what you may, what you will, whatever you feel comfortable with. A little bit later on in the show, I will give an early review for Coming to America. Very clever way to do it. I will give you that. And I as I said on Twitter earlier today, I did like a Twitter chat at about 10 o'clock in the morning today.
Good for you.
Just want to connect with the people. I will not spoil the movie. I will not give an ending out. I will not do a Sopranos, which was 20 years old when I did it. I will just tell you what I thought of the movie a little bit later on. So all the things that Jody buys from Amazon actually paid off yesterday because we have Amazon Prime, and I was just flipping through it, and they said, oh, Coming to America's on. I was going to watch it tonight, but I watched it last night.
Now, this is big, by the way. I just found this out. Coming up later in the show, Michael K. has a list. He's actually doing top five Eddie Murphy movies of all time. That's big.
It's been successful for both of you, so you know why not, right?
But I so successful. I did it on Hot 97 this morning.
But did you give a different list?
No. I didn't even do my whole list. We just sort of took calls from people, and then multiple people said Norbit, and we hung up on them.
I'd be curious what Michael's top five is.
Nah.
He's so critical. I'd like to know what it is.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
I'm not. I'm really not. All right. So the Knicks won yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
They beat the Pistons. Another good game for Julius Randle and a good game for R.J. Barrett. So I broke down some numbers, stolen really from the New York Post, but I'm honest about it. So the Knicks have won 8 of their last 11 games, right? Mm-hmm. So 7 of the 8 wins are against teams well below 500. Well below. They are against Washington, Houston, Atlanta, Minnesota, Sacramento, and a couple against Detroit. 7 of the 8. Now, the Knicks against losing teams this year are 12-5. Their record overall is 19-18. So that means against winning teams, they're 7-13. Now, before anybody looks at that as being a negative stat, just remember where we were a year ago. The Knicks were that team that borderline teams beat. Now they've taken a step up. Now they beat up on bad teams, and they get beaten up on by good teams. And that's why I'm a little bit afraid to fall head over heels for this Knicks team. The first 4 games out of the break are on the road. Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, and Philly. That could be 0-4. And you look at the second half schedule, got the Lakers. You got some tough teams in there.
Sure we do.
So I'm not sure that the Knicks could play at a 500 rate. And we're so giddy about where they are right now, but I think Andrew told me they're 2.5 games out of 11th place, which would lead them out of even the play-in. So you got to be careful. That's why I'm a big proponent of go out and get anybody that's available that's better than what you have now. Don't fall in love with a team that's gutty, gritty, and gets by on guile and gets by on hustle, because those teams do not win against teams that have more talent. They just don't. So if there's a more talented player out there and you have to trade a couple of draft picks, you got to do it. I don't think that player is going to be Bradley Beal. I don't know who that player is going to be. And that player might not become available this year. If he doesn't, then that's what they have to pursue during the offseason. Because frankly put, the Knicks don't have enough talent to challenge great teams. And even if they make the playoffs, they will lose in the first round. Fair?
Well, it's very fair. But the question is that okay for this year? You don't have to make the deal this year. Maybe you make the deal during the offseason. Maybe you see how it goes in next year's trading deadline, and did you improve with what you have? So I think everybody agrees, and Jeff Van Gundy certainly agreed yesterday, that they're going to need a little more. But it doesn't necessarily have to be right at this second. They're 7-13 against teams with a winning record, right? But they still have 7 wins, right? This is what average teams are. You know, beat the teams you're supposed to. Be competitive against the teams you're not. That's why last night's game was so important, because there was a 10-win team they were playing. So you got to win that game, and they did, and now they go into the All-Star break a game over. But they're going to have to steal a couple, but win the games that you're supposed to. And if they end up being an 8 seed and have to play in that round robin to get in, then so be it. To the next year, you see what happens. So I'm kind of in between, Peter. Like, I don't think you have to make a move right now, but I do think a move needs to be made at some point. But I don't think it's to save this season or make a run this season.
No, you want to put another piece in place.
To the point that Don was making, though, earlier in the week, Celtics now 4 straight and are supposed to be getting Marcus Smart back after the All-Star break. He'll probably miss the first one after that. But Kemba Walker's been a better player, and I'm not saying the Celtics are going to turn into we thought they would be, but they're improving. The Wizards are actually continuing to win. They're now nipping at the 8th spot too. So to Don's point, you do need to continue to add to this and create a cushion, because it's going to get tight with all the teams 7-11, 6-11.
Yeah, and they're going to be in that mix. They're not finishing 4th. They're not.
I don't think they're finishing 6th either.
I don't even think they'll finish. Yeah, they won't finish 6th either.
But I think that's okay, though.
Nobody's ripping them for it. I just know that Knicks fans have gotten giddy, and they think this is going to continue against good teams. Listen, if they go on that 4-game road trip after the break and they go 2-2, I'll be completely flabbergasted and
but
happy.
I think there's a difference, though, of let's try to add, let's try to get better, or we've got to make a deal. We have to make the playoffs. We've got to finish with that 6 seed, or we got it. We have to. I don't think there is any have to. Because
also,
this is
you
the
can't
long
put a gun. You can't put
here.
A gun to other teams' heads. You can't make them trade you a good player. You don't want to make a lateral move. You want to get a really great player. I mean, take a look at the teams that are chasing the Knicks. Do the Knicks have anybody like Jason Tatum? I mean, overall, talent-wise, no. Do they have anybody like Jimmy Butler? No. I mean, teams have stars. The closest thing they have to a star is Julius Randle. He's had a great year, and he is an all-star. But they need more than that. They need
yeah,
three-point shooting, which they don't have.
But make a move that helps you long-term, rather than making a move that's going to solidify a playoff spot but possibly hurt you down the road.
Agreed.
Don't make a panic move. Like, oh, my God, we can't fall to 11th. Make a move, and it hurts you down the road. Try to do what you can to make the playoffs, but still keep the eye on the prize. Whatever they end up doing, they're not winning a championship. Whatever they're doing, they're likely not going to get out of the first round. Like, even if they make the playoffs as a 6 seed, I don't think there's any lock that they're getting out of the first round. So make the playoffs. Try to get it to better yourself, but don't have it to come at the expense of next year and the year after, because that's what's really important.
You know what I would love to see? If they made the playoffs and they just won one game. They haven't won a playoff game since Mike Woodson.
Right, where they went 6 against the Pacers, right?
Right. The fact that they're over 500 at this point is amazing. They haven't been since 2013, the year they won 54 games. So give me one win. I don't think you're going to win a series. Give me one win. Now, the other team in town is not content with sitting back and being the best team in the East, I think, even though the Sixers are half game ahead. Now it looks like Blake Griffin could be coming to Brooklyn. He settled on a buyout with the Pistons. Sham Sharania is saying that the favorite is the Nets, or very own Woj just saying that there are 6 teams that want him. He hasn't made a decision yet. But Sharania is saying, you know what? He wants to win a title, and he looks at Brooklyn as the best thing. Now you might say, well, what do they need him for? We don't know about Kevin Durant. We have no idea about Kevin Durant. He's missed way more time than they thought he was going to miss. And even if Durant comes back, Blake Griffin then becomes great scoring off the bench. And if Kevin Durant doesn't come back, He's a little bit of a Band-Aid for that. They're doing great. They're doing great with Kyrie and with Harden. But this team is built with Kevin Durant in mind. If he's out of there, you have to replace that scoring somehow, and Blake Griffin could do that. But, you know, Net fans are crossing their fingers that everything's going to be fine, that he'll be back. But you never know. It's a lot longer than people thought. A lot.
Also, I have this, like, sort of nagging hunch that Blake Griffin could be a different guy when he gets here.
How so?
I'm not saying that he's not simply just old. I mean, this, you forget that, you know, he was injured in 2009-2010, his rookie year. Played his first season in 2010-2011. So this is a legitimate veteran. But, Michael, I just wonder whether he's been sort of checked out in Detroit. And the version that you get of a guy like this when he shows up on a championship contender, I'm not saying he becomes Blake Griffin of 5 years ago, but that his 12 would you believe if his 12 points and 5 rebounds in Detroit became 16 points, 9 rebounds in Brooklyn? I'd believe that, being on a team like this and being motivated that way. Being in Detroit right now for him is just being in the middle of nothing.
And also, he knows if he goes to Detroit, if he comes to Brooklyn, not the first option. He's not even the second
option. No, and not only that, so you show up to Brooklyn knowing your situation and also knowing that after a career in which, remember, he was with the Clippers when they got good but were not a threat truly to win the championship, and they were blocked by the Warriors from even having a chance. And then since then, he's been hovering in no man's land.
Yep.
He's going to get here as the favorite, the prohibitive favorite to win a title. Think about how different Blake Griffin's career is when we look back on it, if it were to end right now versus he gets one or two championships in Brooklyn. Totally changes your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the mantle of being the guy that has to carry a team being taken away
might be nice.
Will free things up for him. He could just, you know, just play. And I think we're seeing that a little bit with Kyrie not having to handle the ball. And Harden not having to be the one guy, it's nice to spread around the wealth. Yeah. Especially when guys take their ego and put it aside. This is all about winning the championship. I think that ego stuff is going to rear its ugly head next year. If they win a title, yeah, then next year they're going to, I want mine.
But he's going to be 32 in a couple of weeks. So he's getting up there, but he's not going to command the minutes, right? What does he average? About 30 minutes a game right now for the Pistons. And he's averaging over 11 points in that span. How many minutes do you think he'd play here?
It would be over 30 if they don't have Durant. If they have Durant, it could be in the mid-20s.
And just looking at his stats, he hits his free throws. It's okay, not great from three. As I said, he doesn't dunk anymore. But, yeah, I'm with Peter. Never won a championship, comes to the Nets. Not a lot asked of him. He's not a star anymore, but he's got a chance to get a ring. I could see him being rejuvenated and helping in that role.
Now, one other thing I want to bring up about the Knicks. Did you see what they have to do at the end of the season? They have a 6-game West Coast. Well, it starts in Houston, but it ends with a West Coast swing. So on May 2nd, they're at Houston. Monday, May 3rd, they're in Memphis. Wednesday, they're in Denver. Friday, May 7th, they're in Phoenix. Sunday, May 9th, they're at the Clippers. Tuesday, May 11th, they are at the Lakers. Then they come home, and they play San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. That ain't easy.
No. Mm-mm. But where are those teams by the time you get to May, right? Like you said, LeBron's a guy that usually plays every game. But now that he's 35, 36, end of the season, maybe they're locked into a playoff spot. Maybe you catch a break and you play the Lakers without Davis and LeBron. Right? It's possible. Maybe you catch a break some of those games that we look at now in March and say, oh, that's a loss. But who knows what state those teams are going to be in when you play them. Because would it be logical, Peter, if Davis is coming back from injury – because he should be back by then, right, if everything goes well. A mid-30s LeBron James, they're locked into their playoff spot, and those guys play in major minutes in a game in May.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a game the Knicks can get.
You never know. But you do want to snatch all these now.
I mean, you got to win a lot now. And that's why during this period for them to go, 8-3? That's good. That's exactly what they had to do against these teams.
That's why you couldn't lose last night. Those are games that you got to win going away, and they did.
1-800-919-3776. Be part of the conversation. Now, I try to be a helpful person. You know
always.
You are.
Hurtful and helpful. I think that describes you very
well. Yeah, both.
It's the title of my 11th book.
Wow.
Right after Little Wooden Box.
I love that one.
So, I've been asked a lot on Twitter, where am I going to be able to watch the Yankees if I'm a cord cutter? Well, the streaming services that used to carry the Yankees don't want to carry sports regionals anymore. It's not the Yankees' fault. It's not Yes Network's fault. They don't want to do it. Hulu dropped out. All the big streaming services. But there's one streaming service that actually does carry them. One. Just one. It's AT&T TV. So I write that down, and this clown on Twitter goes, yeah, they're $90 a month. Not everybody's as rich as you. You want me to be Expedia for your streaming service? You asked me which one carried it. You didn't give me a price point.
You got to stop. Stop engaging with these window lickers.
Yeah, really,
but
honestly.
I'm trying to help people.
And by the way, I have AT&T. That's why I have it. The reason I eventually settled on it, besides the fact that I tried every other one and had gotten annoyed, the other part of that is that they have Yes. And it's not $90 a month. I think the low plan at $65 a month gives you Yes.
And also, if you want to see the Yankee games, right, and your streaming service, you never used to have it, or that had it before, doesn't have it anymore, get MLB.TV. They carry every game.
But do they carry the Yankees in New York?
Well, whatever they do, Don, okay, yeah, they will carry the Yankees in New York. You will get the Yankee game, either the other broadcast or the Yes Network. You'll see the Yankees. You'll see it. You see every single game.
So it doesn't block it out.
I don't believe it does.
I don't know. Double check that, because that's how usually when you, like all those streaming, like when I stream like the NFL Sunday Ticket, like I've, you know, when I have the package for DirecTV, but I also have it on my tablet. I don't get the Jets and Giants.
Well, but let's put it this way, Don. If I'm home and not doing a Yankee game, Yankees are on the road. It's like a 7:30 start. And I have the game on the TV, right? I'll watch SNY on my iPad on the MLB package.
And you don't have any sort of special package?
No.
Well, so then you're right. That says it all.
And most of these people are asking, they're not in New York anyway.
I know.
Well, they're the MLB package. I'm not trying to sell you the MLB package. Also, imagine this. We cut the cord. Well, you made the decision to cut the cord. That's your decision. You go back to cable if you want it so badly.
Yeah, save your time. You're going to go back anyway. You know how I feel.
Well, you know what? You're right. With the cost of streaming now and so many streaming services, it's going to cost exactly what cable used to cost.
Oh, yeah.
If not more. So the guy rips me because I tell him the one thing that carries it in New York, and, oh, that's too much money. We're not all rich like you. You take a walk, clown.
But that's somebody that doesn't like you. That's somebody that if you said, have a good day, don't tell me what kind of day I'm supposed to have.
But he's been asking, and I've been laying off this topic because I know it's a hot button issue, and I don't want to be caught in the middle of it. So I just thought I'd help, and I answered everyone, and this guy chimes in. Oh, he finally gets into the conversation when he should be pushing for Yes to have a stream. Like, I'm going to walk up to the people at Sinclair and Amazon and the Yankees and go, you better get on stream. Well, like, you're going to listen to me.
What you need to do is like Tommy Boy. Strap a bunch of road flares to your chest as if it's a bomb. Walk right into Stanford and demand that it become available. Otherwise, you're blowing the whole place up.
That's right.
And what kind of human being are you if you're not willing to do that for them?
The Rangers just tweeted out that Shesterkin is day-to-day with a mild groin strain.
I am absolutely, positively shocked. This is huge news, but I am shocked.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, I was calling the game last night. He went down like he was shot. He went into the splits and immediately went down. He couldn't put any pressure on his right leg, all right? I forget, it was Bushnevich and somebody else, I forget, who had to help him off the ice. Then he gets off the ice. He can't put any pressure. They had to carry him to the dressing room. So I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be long term. I mean, the season's over in 2 months. This guy's going to be out. This guy's going to be out the whole 2 months. So to hear that he's dated, that's amazing. That's such great news for the Rangers, because if you saw how he was when he injured that, what I'm assuming was a groin. That's incredible news.
What'd they say it ended up being again?
A mild groin strain.
Yeah, so that's.
I will say this though, not to be a Debbie Downer, and a groin is a different thing, but you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, when Marcus Smart went down, it was 1,000% the Achilles. It looked just like every Achilles I've ever seen. Then I found out later that night it's a calf strain, and it's still been 5 weeks of dealing with this strain. So it's certainly better than a tear or something, or the worst case.
Well,
but you also don't know that it ends up actually being day to day.
I didn't want to speculate on the air during the game. We didn't know what it was going to be. But just looking at it in my own mind, I said I'm kind of bracing myself to hear that he's going to be done for at least like a month. So that's to be day to day. That's pretty good news. And I think Georgiev will do the job, but they've got a lot of games. They're playing every other day pretty much the rest of the month. So that's good news.
All right, so there you have it, and a lot of people on Twitter are telling me that you are blacked out. You are blacked out in New York if you have MLB.TV.
See, that's the thing that drives me crazy. I'm not going to kill baseball because all the sports do it. You know, I mean, I got MSG Go so I can watch the Rangers on the tablet, but I have the NHL package, and it blacks out the local teams because they want to try to get you to watch the game on television. But for the cord cutters, you know, I just make the games available, and if you're paying for it, and then just figure out the ratings from there. We're all figuring stream out, right? It's easy to figure out, just like the ratings. So if I want to watch a Yankee game on the MLB package on my computer, they'll just register that I'm watching it there and give the rating the yes.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Hockey, basketball, the same thing.
We are going to take phone calls on the basketball. We'll talk more about the hockey as well. I promise. I'm in a good mood today. Big day for me tomorrow, so.
That's an easy guess.
Oh, yeah.
What? Tell me.
I know what it is.
Tell me.
The big shot in the arm.
That's right. Little jab.
That's right.
Now, is this a two-parter or a one-parter?
You know what? I think it's a two-parter, but when you show up, if they have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, then it's just a one-parter. But I think where Jody and I are going, it's a two-parter.
And let's be honest, Michael will show up and take whatever they feel like putting in his arm.
Of course.
He's
ready.
Jab me, baby.
Sasha Baron Cohen on Kimmel last night?
No.
He's promoting the movie. But in the second half, he goes into a full-blown act as if he's selling celebrities the vaccine. And then he gets into a chair. You got to see it. Go look, check it on YouTube. It is. I don't know how he did it. It is tremendous television.
It was
tremendous.
On with Kimmel?
Yeah. Last night. Very, very, very funny.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. We'll take phone calls. We got the whole thing set up. 1-800-919-3776. Yankees playing right now. That's why we're not on yes at the moment, but it's the eighth inning. It'll be a nine-inning game today. Yankees lead the Tigers 1-0. So if you're driving and you want to get in front of your TV, we should be on, what time is it? We should be on about 4:15, 4:00, something like that. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I just want to clarify. We did clarify before the break, but I got this information. All right, you cannot get the Yes Yankee games on MLB.TV if you live in the Yankees' home team footprint, which is New York State, Connecticut, northeastern Pennsylvania, and north and central New Jersey. So the only way to get Yes Yankee games on MLB.TV is if you live outside the footprint. So you cannot get it. So Don was absolutely right.
It's time to change that. We have the technology to change it. I get it that, you know,
and give the network the rating.
Because that's all that SNY and Yes are interested in, is that they get the rating. Well, if I'm watching it on my tablet because, you know, the kids want to watch Frozen for the 750th time, or I want to enjoy outside or whatever, well, then just give them the rating.
I think it would be great if they just let each individual network get their own app And if people want to buy the app and stream the game, that they could do it wherever they are. I mean, since there is so much cord cutting, and that's not allowed yet either by Major League Baseball. Because the Yes Network is putting together an unbelievable app that if you have the Yes Network on cable, you could use the app and stream the game anywhere. But you can't buy the app as a long-standing app.
Exactly. Yeah. See, that's what I do. Like, if I'm watching, say, an MSG product, like the Knick game, right? But I can only do that because I got to go through the menu and say, all right, DirecTV, put in my codes. If I don't have DirecTV as my main source to get Knicks, well, then I wouldn't be able to use the app. Then that's the way it works everywhere because they're afraid that the streaming will take away from the number on television. But now that the world is changing, this reminds me of, Michael? Back in the days when the NFL would black out home games because they thought people going to the games would reduce the television rating. You know, that streaming has now become a major part of how people consume. So I'm watching the Yes game. I'm watching the product. I'm watching the Yankees. I'm just not watching it on traditional television. I'm watching it on my computer. Give Yes the rating and allow the convenience of people to be able to watch it for wherever they want.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Jason in East Northport.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So just talking about the Knicks record coming out of the gate here in the second half. You know, they're one game up. They've got the four tough games, like you said. They've got that brutal West Coast trip towards the end of the season. If they could end the season with 32 or 33 wins, I would be happy with that. Now, I mean, that would mean that they're playing eight games under 500, nine games under 500 the second game, you know, the second half of the season. But at the beginning of the year with this roster, if you had told Knicks fans that in a shortened season, they end the year with 33 wins, somewhere around there, what Knicks fan would not have signed up for that?
Yeah, you're talking, though, Jason, about them being eight games under 500, you said?
Yeah. Yes, the second half.
That'd
be disappointing, but.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be happy with that, especially if they finish out of the playoffs. I mean, they got to finish close to 500 and at least in that play-in to feel really good.
But that would only work if you never changed your expectations. Because if your expectation going into the season was, I just want them to be competitive. If they make the playoffs, great. If not, I'm happy with that. But you haven't changed your expectations when we're talking about a team that is a game above 500 at the All-Star break? Don't you have to change it.
You got to recalibrate. I'm sorry, you have to. I've always believed that. Okay, if you thought they were going to stink at the beginning of the year, all of a sudden the All-Star break, you look up and they're 19 and 18. You got to think about it differently now.
Because that's in every sport.
Yeah, of course, because, Peter, to finish, what do they got, 19 wins? So to finish with only 12 more wins, 13 more wins, that means they play a lot of bad basketball in the second half of the year.
Right, and all of a sudden, a record that you would have been fine with is a disappointment because you started strong and finished terribly.
Exactly. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie.
MVP, good afternoon.
What's going on?
Hey, I know what that means.
There you go. Hey, there you go, Don. First off, I just want to say I love this show, either it be radio or TV. But I just wanted to say today that I agree with Don. The Knicks need to just get into the playoffs. If a trade for a player that will come and help the city thrive again comes around, then cool. But the Knicks don't need someone that's just going to, you know, come for the remainder of the year. And I just got one more thing to say. DCR in the morning is great. I absolutely love it. In case they do me one favor, please stop saying RJ is dead to you. He's a great guy.
By the way, he's a great guy. And Michael, the fact that he continues to do that is troubling.
I like to rip off a Band-Aid. I don't like to peel it off slowly because that causes me more pain. So I can't like fake it that I still love RJ when he just left us. Now, thankfully, we got Anthony, who's great. But RJ's just up and left, and that's hurtful to me. I'm a very loyal guy.
He got a promotion.
Yeah, okay.
Did you offer him the same amount of money he was going to get for his promotion out of pocket?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
That's a lie.
Yeah, I did.
Don't tell lies.
No, I did.
So you're a member of the Yankees AAA affiliate in Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And somebody gets called up to the Yankees. They're dead to you? Because they left?
Well, that's the major leagues. We're the major leagues, too.
I understand just, that, but
he has a different job.
All right, a better analogy, because this is a spot-on analogy baseball-wise. you're a member of the Yankees bullpen.
Right.
And one of the guys gets taken out of the bullpen and becomes a starter. He's dead to you.
No, because he's still helping my team. RJ's not helping
now.
No,
he's still helping
our show. He's not helping our show.
Giving us a killer start to the day.
That's
true,
but he's not helping our show.
He went from being a board op to a producer, got a raise. Peter.
He was more than a board op. That's insulting.
I understand that he was more than a board op, but unfortunately he got paid as a board op. There is no salary structure for more than a board op. It's called
a
board op that's being taken advantage of.
Some would say that exists throughout the entire building.
Listen, you have no problem with RJ, right?
None.
Zero.
Neither you, Peter, right?
None.
Good enough. Don't worry about what I feel. Let's go to...
He's sick.
You make it public, though.
Let's go to Jimmy in Bayonne. Jimmy.
You guys are hilarious. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I've been listening since mid-days. Since I was a kid, since you guys were on mid-days, and now I listen to basically all 4 hours a day. So,
thank you,
you guys
Jim.
Are great. Quick thing about the cord cutting. I've been contemplating it for about 3 years. I pay about $170 a month for cable. Mm-hmm. But trying to keep track of all the different services, it'll be more stress than it's worth. But anyway, about Blake Griffin, I'm a big Nets fan. When I saw the news that he got bought out early today, mm-hmm. I thought about it, but we need defense. The guy doesn't play defense. I saw a stat the other day. He hasn't dunked in a game in about 2.5 years.
Yep.
What do we need another mid-range jump shooter for?
Just as insurance, Jimmy. Offense. What if KD doesn't come back?
He's also still grabbing six boards a game. So he may not be putting it back and dunking.
What does it cost, Jimmy? What does it cost you? You don't have to make a trade.
No. Yeah, if we could get him for the veterans minimum of flyer,
that's what you would get him for.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what you would get him for, Jim. You don't have to pay him big money. The Pistons just paid all his money off.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth it. And maybe it doesn't work. It doesn't work, then no harm, no foul, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if somebody was great at some point and then you put them on a team that has the chance to win a championship, every last vestige of greatness will come out. Is he going to be a high-flying, Lob City guy? No, he's not. Those days are over. But he still can play.
Yeah.
Something off the bench for them.
He's not going to come in here delusional thinking that he's going to start every game. Like, he'll know the role. They'll tell him, listen, you're going to get some minutes when KD's out, but when KD comes back, you are going to be a bench player. You're going to play your 25 minutes, and you're going to try to grab some rebounds, score some points. And he'll choose to come here because apparently he's got options. So he'll know the score when he gets here.
Let's go to Tommy in Red Bank. Tommy.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Michael, I think you're taking a little bit of a Dan Gilbert approach to the RJ situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should take more of the Fertitta approach.
But you know what? Gilbert got back. Gilbert got back LeBron. Fertitta's never getting back Harden.
Well, we can't say that for sure yet.
Well, but when he gets back Harden, Harden's going to be done. Gilbert got back LeBron and still won a championship. So I'm taking the Dan Gilbert approach. But thank you. It's
so rare you hear people in sports say, I'm taking the Dan Gilbert approach. you don't hear it every day.
Not every day. On this show you could hear it. But I love Tommy. He used analogies. You know he listens to the show. He's
That's
on
why I love Tommy.
Great
Tommy's
call.
The best. Well, let's continue the call, Tommy.
So I wanted to talk about Blake Griffin. I actually disagree with the last caller. Let's not forget, Blake Griffin is just 2 years removed from being an all-star when he averaged, I think, about 25 a game his first full season in Detroit. So obviously you're not expecting that production from him if he comes in and plays with the Nets, but if he can give you 25 minutes a game off the bench, give you 15, 16 a game, another veteran presence definitely will help come playoff time, just extra experience off the bench. I don't see how this move could hurt them.
You nailed it. That's exactly. It's not going to hurt them. It can only help them. If he doesn't have it, he's an easy release, or you bury him on the bench. It can't hurt.
No.
They're not going to keep playing him if he can't play. It cannot hurt. I promise you, it will not hurt you.
Not at all.
He will not hurt them the way RJ hurt me.
He's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he's going to grab some boards.
You guys are making me out to be a terrible person.
It's bad.
You're making yourself out to be a terrible person.
No. About a week ago, you know what I got in the mail?
Yeah, the save the date for RJ.
Save the date for RJ's wedding. So if he hated me that much, he wouldn't invite
me. No. No one's saying he hates you.
Nobody.
You hate him.
Yeah. I have a problem with him. I don't hate him.
Are you going? Are you saving the date?
If I don't have a game. Well, I'll lay it all out there for you. It's the day that the Yankees are on the West Coast. It's at the end of August. So I asked for that time off, but I might not be able to get it because that's when Ryan Rucco and his wife are expecting.
Ah.
So if Ryan's wife is going to have the baby, then I'm going to go to the West Coast. It's only right. Ryan has to be there for the baby, so I will not be able to go to RJ's wedding.
Wow.
Now rip that. What did I say that was wrong then?
I mean, if Ryan and his wife could have waited 30 minutes before having a baby, he could have let RJ had his moment to shine.
And listen, I get it, and this is not being critical of you, Michael, but just having known you for 20 years, it's like you're married to Jody and the Yankees. Yeah. It's like they're your third kid.
What are you talking about?
But it's just weird. Like, everything is, well, I got a Yankee game. They might be on the West Coast. Got to see.
Yeah, but you're saying Yankees. I'm not upset. I love doing Yankee games. I'm so blessed to be doing Yankee games.
No, nobody's 30th saying you're upset about it. It's a thing.
Well, yeah, it's an all-consuming job. So is this job. It's a thing.
You are a little looser with this job. Believe me, this show does not get in your way.
You are so full of baloney.
It's true.
You really are. You're full of baloney.
But, Don, I got to tell you, I'm going to defend Michael here, actually.
All right.
What do you expect? He's the voice of the Yankees. When you have jobs, when you have coveted jobs, things like weddings unfortunately get missed.
No, I'm just saying. It's a thing. Listen,
it's a thing in my family
with the Rangers. You think Nancy could just go buy tickets without going to the Rangers.com and checking the schedule? I mean, that's just the way it works. I'm just making that point. What I'm saying is, though, not an issue with this show.
Well, you switched it, though, because that wasn't your initial point. Michael,
no,
you like how I'm defending
said,
you?
You said that this show, then you talked about this show, a lot of heavy lifting with this show. Yeah, but no.
You know what? You're
center
you're
stage,
so,
where's Michael? Yankee Day game, where's Michael?
Here's one.
What do you get, 100 weeks vacation?
I'm sorry if I have a better agent than you, but
Russ is terrific.
I like
so this. I don't this show doesn't mean anything. So like when a Yankee
did
game
I say
ends,
that Peter?
And, wait a second, and I have to run all the way down full sprint to the rat infested trailer to do my show.
Right.
That I don't care about the show.
No, did I ever say he doesn't care about the show? I'm just saying Yankees are sacrosanct. This show, not so much.
Well, it started out by being like, oh my God, the Yankees, it's like having another child.
It's true.
But I don't think he'd argue that. I have a current situation in my own personal life where I have a very important professional thing.
We all
where
do.
There are a million people who would want to do it who aren't named me, and you have to pass things up.
The Rangers are the same with me. There's just not as many games, but it's still a thing.
But you would
so
do it in a heartbeat.
Critical.
But if you had the full schedule, you'd be in the same spot Michael was in.
Right, exactly. So I wasn't being critical. I was just making the point. It's like having a child. Same for me. But then he tried to say the show was on the same level, Peter, and I had to slap him down. That's all.
It is. It is on the
it's
same
not. Level.
No, let's not go that far.
Well, because the Yes contract was signed before the radio contract, so the Yes takes precedence. I'm sorry, they do.
Because you wanted to.
No, because it's contractually obligated.
Right, but
do I have to get into lawyers again?
How many different contracts have you had since we started? Like 5? You're like the football players. Change it if you want. You don't want to.
Well, what do you want me to join the Yankee game in progress in the third inning? Don, you're being ridiculous
I'm just
now.
Saying.
I got it, Don. I have never done this, and I may never do it again. I think you need to stand down.
This is fun.
I just think it's a faulty argument.
No, it's not faulty.
It's a lot of fun. But, I mean, it's if you get your dream job. Listen, Michael dreamed of the Yankee job. This job has been a nice bonus. That was the dream job. You got to do what you got to do.
I've tried to negotiate Rangers ahead of ESPN.
How to work out
for it. Work.
That sounds right.
You know what? I came into the show in a good mood.
Why would you be in a bad mood? This is fun.
Because you're a jerk. That's why.
Am I really a jerk?
Yeah, you're a jerk. You're a jerk. I'm sorry. You're a jerk. Jerk. Jerk store. Jerk. Jerk. That's what you are. You're trying to antagonize me, and you've done it. So good. Now you've got heel Michael for the next 3 hours and 10 minutes. You happy with that? Good. You got it.
You know what, Don? Now I'm mad at you because we didn't need that. And you did. This was a rare example. I've never agreed with Michael like this. I think that was an attack.
He went out of his way. He went out of his way for this.
Hey,
he
I
did.
Think if we get heel Michael, everybody wins.
We'll be back on. We're not even on Yes yet. Goodbye on 98.7.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, Jarv brings up, Jarv from Oz, our Australian correspondent, brings up a good point that, you know, my enmity toward RJ for leaving, it looks like it's a knock on Anthony. It's not. Anthony's been an unbelievable replacement for RJ. And I love Anthony. Anthony's done very, very well. I just don't like when people just up and leave for no reason.
Yeah, that's not. But you got to stop. And you know, the saddest thing about it is RJ, a beloved member of this radio show and station, he left now, Don, what, 3 months ago? 2 months ago?
Yeah, about two.
Michael, in RJ's goodbye, in which we all said something sort of touching, in mine I actually teared up. I don't know if you recall, Don. It was our holiday show.
Soft.
I teared up. Michael, that day, said something kind of nasty like, well, you're leaving, so whatever. And has only said that and things like that ever since he left. You have never... One time. So if you're RJ and you're hearing this, every time you're thinking at some point you'll get a just kidding. Every time?
And
he got offered a better job with more money.
Maybe I'm not kidding.
And here's the other thing. I know you're not kidding. Here's the other thing that really just makes Michael's heart black. Is it was a no-brainer decision, Peter, that he still struggled over because he didn't really want to leave. That's how much he wanted to be here. But the money and the promotion was just too enticing. He had to go, but he went with trepidation, and that's still not enough for Michael.
You need 24-hour observation. Doctors in every language. There should be hamsters running on tracks connected to things near you. Just space needles, everything imaginable, studying you at all times.
Why the hamsters? Why bring them into it?
Because I think as you're watching the hamster run on the wheel, the scientists would be watching their brain waves and watching your brain waves. They're figuring it all out.
All right, so yesterday, I had made big plans for this evening after the show. Jody and I were going to have a date night. We're going to watch Coming To, the number two America. That's the sequel to Coming To, T.O. America. And then we were, you know, I was flipping through the all the streaming services that I pay for. And right there on Amazon Prime, they were showing the new Coming to America last night. I said, Jody, we'll find another movie for date night. Let's do this.
Jump right in, baby.
Jumped right in. Now, that's one of the real positives to get 10 to 15 packages from Amazon delivered every day. But that's another story for another day. And I said on Twitter this morning when I spoke to our fans... For about 40 minutes, by the way, that I was going to review the movie. Now, I promised, and I will hold to that promise, I give you my word, that I will not spoil it. Here's my review. If the most you could give is $5 for a movie.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
That was a sneeze.
You don't have a cough button there?
No.
No.
I'd like to apologize for what just happened.
In the middle, imagine if they did that to Siskel and Ebert when they were both with us. Some cameraman had sneezed like that.
Wow!
Immediately.
Well, that's all I am. That's sad. All right, keep going. So Siskel.
All right, better if Siskel said something. He's giving his thumbs up or thumbs down, and Ebert sneezes all over. So what would that be?
I think he would have said "bless you" and moved on.
Wait, Anthony, is that what it sounded like?
Yes.
Let me hear it again.
$5.
You've got some issues. I may have just sneezed my way into a six seed, baby.
That's not a normal sneeze.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to say that sounds like.
I know what you're going to say. Don't say.
No,
I don't think that's a symptom, though.
Yeah, it's not even a symptom, though.
No. I wasn't saying COVID.
Oh.
No.
Something else?
Yeah. Anyway, if 5 stars is the most you could give.
Okay.
I would give Coming to America 1.5 stars. Now, I would give Coming to America, the first one, 4.75 stars. Just for the originality, the laughs. I sat there, I think it's an hour and 10 minutes. No. It's an hour and 50 minutes. I sat there and didn't laugh. Oh, it's no. The same movie done 30 years later. Now, there's some twist differently, but it's essentially same gags, same movie, same people. Nothing original about it at all. I mean, they didn't break any new ground.
Hold on, though. Hold on. It is one of the great movies of all time, though.
Right.
So reliving some of it didn't feel good?
I'd watch the first movie again. That's how I'd relive it. I mean, it's just, this was like Gone with the Windier. It's the same movie.
Well, that's not even a real thing, though, what you just said.
Well, this probably shouldn't have been a real thing. There was a reason Eddie Murphy kept turning down script after script for 30 years. He said it doesn't really advance the story. This doesn't either.
Well, I'm just on IMDb.
What do they say?
The rating is 5.6, but just looking at like the users' reviews, and nobody's giving it higher than a 3. I mean, everybody seems to be in agreement with you.
And here's what bothered me the most, Peter.
Okay.
I've literally been anticipating this for 2 years when I heard that they were making it. Looking forward to it. Jody even said, why are you looking so forward to this? She knew that I wanted it to be great, so I wasn't going into it hard edged and I was going to judge it harshly. It gave me nothing. Nothing. This would not make your top 5 list, Peter. It wouldn't make your top 8.
Wow. I wonder if anyone else out there has seen it. Because I don't know. I mean,
my expectations are not high as far as like the story or whatever, but I guess they're just going after it. This is a beloved movie, and to just revisit it is like half of what they're trying to accomplish.
Then they should add a clip show, sort of like what Friends is doing for HBO Max, because this is, it's in a word, troubling.
Don't be surprised, Michael, if that's the reason why Friends is doing it, because they probably knew they couldn't come up with a script that anybody was going to love, and people are just watching to kind of catch up on how they look 20 years later. It's probably the same with this.
And Andrew said, just texted me that Coming to America has a really bad rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
How bad?
How bad, Andrew, do we know?
So it's the tomato...
48%, right?
Yeah, tomato meter is 48%. The audience score is 47%. Those are low.
Rafer Guzman of Newsday said, quote, a lazy, charmless sequel. And that... I couldn't have said it better myself. At least there's one good writer at Newsday. Well, Dave Lennon's also good, and Bob Glauber. But I can name all
See?
Of them. Yeah, but there's one that's the worst. So it's just... it's not...
No, he's a good writer. He just doesn't have any kind of creativity.
No, he's an awful person, too.
No, Don,
not even a journalist.
Today?
Yeah.
No, I'm just asking Don why today was the day he wanted to even offer any resistance here.
Everybody's a nice person to you, Don.
Accurate.
People that screw you over, they're still nice people. No.
I'm just saying, I don't usually give away
laminated lists.
It's not his writing that it's about. It's just that his subject matter is very, 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 very one-sided. That's all.
I respect that.
Not I would bad. Go on a I killing spree, and he would ask, you know, Mark Melusis how he felt about it.
Oh, that joke was a limited audience, but really great for those who got it.
Yeah, really, really. And he'd ask Melusis about the streaming, too. Let's go to Doug in Connecticut. Doug?
Hey, guys, I won't do the roll call that, Michael, you don't like, but it is a great show. I told you I became addicted to you guys a year ago.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I do want to tell you, Michael, though, that I think you've been extremely hard on Peter. Today it was about the sweatshirt. Yesterday it was about his clothing and the size of the clothes he buys. I happen to know for a fact that Peter shops at a store where a lot of grown men professional athletes shop. It's the Jockeys from Belmont and Aqueduct.
Oh.
They all go to the same store.
Oh. Wow. Wow, what a turn that took, Doug. Love it. Wow, I thought he was going in for the kill shot on me, but no, he turned it on Peter.
He turned it. You know what? I got nothing to say. I'm short as a jockey. I'm 5'2", 107 pounds. I ride a horse.
I don't understand. And this is all because of DiPietro. There's nothing wrong with you physically at all.
I'm going to tell you one thing.
Listen, he's not the shortest guy at the station. He's not the fattest guy at the station. He's not the ugliest guy at the radio station. From a physical standpoint, he's an eight.
You've become like that kicker in the NFL, Don. You've never been like this for 19 years. All of a sudden, you've become that kicker in the NFL. Suck up. That's what you are. You're a suck up.
I'm not a suck up. I'm trying to defend my guy.
Stop. Nobody wants to hear that. They want truth.
Listen, do I defend you when people are like, oh, you're big head? That lacks creativity and also not true. I come to the same defense.
Well, hold on. Do you actually think it's not true that Michael has a big head? Because now it worries me that you are lying.
No, he does not have a big head. My head's bigger than his. He's got a long face. He will admit that.
Yes, I have a painfully long face.
But when you call him big head, even if his head's big, that's not exactly creative. But to call you short and fat, give me a break.
Yeah.
You're not George Costanza.
You are not fat.
I mean, listen, I'm no longer, when I check the chart, I'm no longer obese. Oh, God.
Baby steps. Oh, I got
two seeds in a row. You might have a sneeze and then that all together. I am 5'7" and a half, 5'8". I call myself 5'8" because I'm very, very close.
Why?
Well, because who wants to go 5'7"?
Why?
Because 5'8", like, there's a big divide between like, Spud Webb was 5'7", right? I love Spud Webb. I don't want to be the same height as Spud Webb.
Okay.
Spud Webb. Yeah, so I'd rather be 5'8", but I'm right there on the line. And I weigh 180. I'm not an oil painting, but I'm not Methuselah either.
Methuselah's not ugly. He's just old.
What is he good looking?
He happened to be a very good looking guy in his day. They said, here's meth. It's a good time tonight. Meth is here.
I've never heard that. By the way, I don't even know what the Methuselah reference is
Methuselah from. Methuselah is old, old, old. Not ugly.
But what's he from?
He's from the Methuselah series of books.
No, it's one of those terms that Michael uses that is now part of my life that I only know because of him. There's so many words like that. Andrew, what was the conversation I said to you the other day? I went, have you ever heard anyone say this besides Michael? And he says it all the time.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It wasn't Gnoit Neamphisteris.
That's from Sterling. I stole that from Sterling.
You stole that?
Yeah, that's Sean's thing. Gnoit Neamphisteris.
It was another. What's another pair of things you say? So-and-so and so-and-so.
I don't know. Let's think about it. We'll come back. We'll hear from Mark Sanchez. Fine. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on
and
Yes.
Mark and Mark Melissa's.
98.7. Love Mark. Worst. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I did a little research. Methuselah, Peter, was a biblical patriarch and a figure in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Having died at the age of 969.
Hell of a life.
He lived the longest of all figures mentioned in the Bible. According to the book of Genesis, Methuselah was the son of Enoch, the father of Lamech, and the grandfather of Noah.
That's right. And my buddy Bill said that if you read the timeline, he died during the flood.
So the poor guy lives till 969 and a flood gets him.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about living to 960. Because you never know what happens after that.
I wish that we could actually broadcast the stuff that Andrew just delightfully drops into my ear. He goes, I just looked at a picture of Methuselah. He's really ugly.
Told you.
Peter was right.
Told you.
But he's not known for being ugly. He's known for being old.
Andrew, is he ugly enough that he should be known for being ugly?
Yeah. I mean, there's a picture of him here. He looks like Gollum.
Let me see.
Wow. No. I hope you look good when you're over 900 years old.
Yeah, I mean, really, putting that on a 900-year-old
guy. Oh, my God. He's repugnant.
That is a hot guy.
No. No, Andrew. That is a, he's terrifying.
Before we get to Mark Sanchez, I'm sitting here, and I'm kind of ruminating on Don. St. Don, we're going to call him from now on. I'm ripping somebody who's been the complete opposite of a friend of this show, has gone out of his way to hurt this show, hasn't been able to do it because he has no juice, and Don defends him, Peter.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he
didn't.
Did. Oh, he's a good writer. No, he's not.
No, he didn't. He was saying that's not what makes him a bad guy is his writing.
No, I think all of the things you put together in the pot and it's a lousy stew.
Meanwhile,
why defend that person? Of all the people to defend, it shows you he's on a big defensive thing now.
I just want the criticism.
He's like he's being coached by Thibodeau.
Hey, quality of writer, that's in the eye of the beholder. But that's not the issue. I can't even get into Newsday anyway. I'm not paying for it. I'm just saying that how one-sided it is. And then I gave my line.
It was a good line.
So I don't know why you're killing me. I'm just saying I
he's on
one
today.
Like, it'd be like
No. I'm not on one. I just there's some people that are indefensible. That you don't need to say a good thing about.
No, I wasn't.
They don't say a good thing about you.
I was just saying let the criticism be accurate. Your problem with Neil Best has nothing to do with his quality of writing. It has everything to do with what he's writing about.
Well,
let's just keep it. Let's keep
the
eye on the prize here. That's all.
Not that great of a writer. He's a hack. How about that?
It's like saying, you know what? It'd be like saying, you know what? I haven't seen it from Sam Darnold. I'm not sure. I think the Jets should move on. Oh, and he's ugly too. Tweet that. Print
if you want to put that in, I'll put that in too.
What? Best is ugly?
I don't know who. I didn't mention any names.
Oh, but no. But at the same time, Don, Michael also does have the right to think that his writing stinks too.
Right, but that's not his issue.
Oh, maybe I've got a lot of issues. It's multi-pronged.
Prongs galore. By the way, Michael, have you picked up your new Peter Rosenberg 24/7 championship t-shirt?
No, I have not.
That didn't age well.
What do you mean? It just came out today, and it's selling like hotcakes. This is the best item I've ever sold. It's on my Instagram, at Rosenberg Radio, and I shout out to Rob Pearson, who did the design. But the listeners of my GP podcast, we all celebrated my 24/7 championship win together. And I released limited t-shirts occasionally for the podcast listeners. So I wanted to get the design just right. And Don, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get one for you, Don. I'm going to send it to your house.
Okay, thank you.
Because you'll love it. Michael wouldn't wear it. He'd use it as a dish rag. But I'll send it to you.
I would wear it. It's going to be a collector's item because not that many people are going to have it. And the rain wasn't that long.
What mold?
People don't want to hear truth, do they?
Well, no.
You weren't 24/7. You were about 12 and a half and 7.
No, I was 21. 21-hour champion.
But you couldn't even hit the earliest of the two times in the title.
What do you mean?
Well, it's 24/7. 24 hours, 7 days a week. You didn't even make it to the 24-hour part.
Yeah, or the 7. I made it 7 hours.
But the 7 represents days.
Why? I didn't make it that far. Anyways, at Rosenberg Radio on Instagram, it is a delightful tea.
Oh,
go check it out.
That's some cubes, Michael, right in the 5 o'clock hour, too.
It's amazing. He's such a self-promoter. It's amazing. I never promote myself. I loathe myself. And this guy, all he does, I'm on Twitch today.
You're such a liar. You don't loathe yourself.
I do, Don.
Yeah, you're not a fan of yourself.
I'm not a fan of me.
No, I mean, we all have problems, okay? Obviously, I have problems. I'm selling a t-shirt with a cartoon picture of myself on it, okay? I'm a psychopath, for God's sake.
And while we're at it, the extensive Tawny Kitaen interview on LaGreca TV.
Who?
From Bachelor Party, Whitesnake Video.
Wow. Wait.
How did you get her on the show?
Wait, who is it? What's her name again?
Tawny Kitaen. You've never heard of Tawny Kitaen?
Tawny Kitaen.
Did you ask her about Chuck Finley?
I had a Ranger game. I couldn't do it.
Oh.
So it's my brother. Extensive.
Okay.
No stone unturned. LaGreca TV, YouTube. Subscribe.
She has done a lot of things.
All right, let's do this. Mark Sanchez was on with Greeny today. And he talked about Sam Darnold, and it was kind of interesting what he said because Mark's been there, done that, right? So we've got to take him at his word on this one. Here's Mark Sanchez on Greeny. And you can hear Greeny, by the way, every Monday through Friday from 10 to noon. 10 to noon right here on this fine station. It's a fine show. Fine show. Here's Mark Sanchez.
This is becoming an impossible situation, and it's just completely unfair. So it's frustrating because in some ways I've lived that, not exactly, but in certain ways you're there and you're trying so hard, but you're just banging your head against the wall. So I really do feel for the guy, but at the end of the day, it's got to get done, and I just want to see him get a legitimate opportunity because he hasn't been given one. And to make any decisions on Sam Darnold right now, whether he's a good or bad player in this league, is just like Lewis Riddick said, and everybody agreed, is just completely premature.
He also said something. He went on to say this, which I thought was interesting. If you keep him, the first three and out, he's going to get booed out of the stadium. That's how the fans are going to be. He said, this guy can't win here. He said he needs a change of venue. Despite the new coach, whatever, it's not fair what's been done to him. And if he stays, what is going to be done with him? Because every quarterback's going to have a three and out in a big spot. And if he has that three and out, they're going to boo him out of MetLife Stadium. So Sanchez thinks you got to get rid of him. He said there's no choice. Even if you think he could be end up being a good quarterback, he's got to get out of here.
And I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. You know, we go back and forth on whether that's the right thing to do. I still think he deserves another chance. I think keeping that second pick or trading down to four and getting the tight end Pitts would be good for this team. That's the direction I would go. But clearly, Michael, that's not what they're going to do. They don't want to have to pay the $25 million to find out. They got a chance to reset. It's not Joe Douglas's quarterback, right? You know, Woody Johnson comes back here. I'm sure Woody Johnson's thinking, I'm taking over this team. We're going to have fans in the building in September. How do I market to my fan base the same quarterback we've lost with over the last 3 years? So I think the motivation for Woody Johnson is to change. I think the motivation for Joe Douglas is to change. There's enough people that love Wilson at two where they're not going to get killed for it. It's the safer thing to do. I disagree with it, but ultimately, knowing how franchises kind of think, the safer play, especially if you can get a first-round pick in return, trade them, draft the quarterback.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. Join 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, for their annual wedding band event from Thursday, March 18th through Sunday, March 21st. Enjoy 20% off all wedding bands. For locations and to make an appointment, visit 2bylondon.com. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Rob. He's in Massachusetts. Rob. Rob?
Robert.
Rob. Bobby.
No.
Call back, Robbie.
Well, you hate to see that. Let's go to Mark in Dix Hills.
Rob?
Hello?
Robert.
Oh, no.
Turn down the radio, Mark. Come on. You're better than this.
What is this, Radio 1974?
Shut up.
Oh, you know what? I love this show, but I don't want to hear it, you know, on delay.
We sound pretty good, though.
Sounds terrific.
Art Russ Jr. here. I mean, really, what are people thinking? They still don't know you got to turn the radio off?
They hold for a long time, and they start doing other things, okay?
Baseball tonight at the Big Ball Orchard. Hey, Tukes, how's the wing?
Let's go to a Kenny in New Jersey. Kenny.
Ken.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up? Doing great, Kenny. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. I had a question to ask. It seems like in the modern NFL, it seems like the teams don't trade down anymore. I mean, they do, like, you know, they might trade the 19th pick, you know, something like that. But, like, I'm talking high picks. It seems like they don't trade down. That strategy seems to be dead. You guys have any idea why?
I think it's risky, you know, because you're going to be second-guessed if there's somebody that's picked at the spot that you traded down from and becomes a very good player. I just think a lot of GMs are very conservative. They don't want – I mean, Bill Belichick trades down all the time, right?
Yeah, but not, you know, not I think he's talking about, right. Like, you know, top 10 picks. You'll see going from, you know, trading your 30th overall pick for a couple of third rounders or something like that. The problem is, Michael, even 20 years ago, the Jets aren't parting ways with Sam. Going into his fourth year, they're going to stick with him.
Right.
But now, because of the way the contracts are structured, hitting the reset button, hey, you saw what Arizona did. You know, taking a quarterback, back-to-back first-round picks. There's no shelf life anymore. People are hitting that reset button. They're wearing it out. Maybe you got a couple of years. You're not showing something. And I don't think the Jets would be moving Sam if they didn't have to pay him $25 million at the end of the year or $19,000 at the end of the year. You think they would?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe. I think you've made a good point in the past, though. If he was a great quarterback, they'd gladly pay the $19 million. He hasn't shown them enough to take that risk and take the hit on the cap in another year.
Right, but the thing is, I agree with you. He hasn't shown them enough. We can negotiate how much he's shown. I mean, Wilson's had one good year in college.
Right.
Both are risky, but I just think from Joe Douglas's standpoint, this is my quarterback. Second overall pick, I'm taking him rather than giving Sam a fourth year. And I don't know where they're going to be. That's what I need to know. What kind of team are the Jets going to have? Because we all assume that, oh, well, they'll use their draft picks on good players. They'll trade down. They'll get Pitts. They'll spend some money in free agency. But really, how much more improved will the weapons be where Sam can make that jump, where you can lock yourself into saying, all right, now I know for sure. Now I know definitely that we can give this guy the $19 million and go long-term with him.
It's the biggest decision Joe Douglas is going to make. As long as he has this GM job, this is the biggest decision he's going to have to make.
But wouldn't you say right now the safer thing for him to do is just take Wilson?
Yes, in terms of being second guess, yes.
Right.
Yep. Look, because if you keep Mark, if you keep Sam, and he's the same quarterback, I mean, what did he have? 7 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Most quarterback. If he's the same quarterback, then you look like a stooge. When right. You had a potentially outstanding young quarterback sitting there waiting to be taken. Mark in Staten Island.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good. First off, I wanted to say the DP Catro romance, I like that going on. And don't listen to those guys, hey, Michael. You and Rick have a good thing going on.
Thank Did you just
Mark.
Call it DP Catro?
I like it.
I love that.
Mark, yeah. Excellent.
The DP Catro romance.
Real quick.
That is great.
Mark, you could call back anytime, man. What's your other point?
I want to talk about the Domingo Germán situation. You know, a lot of people, I thought the Yankees should cut bait with him. I think his numbers from 2019 were a little skewed because if you look at his run support he got that year, he got like 7-8 run support, runs a game. Mm-hmm. So I think he's a little skewed. I don't think he's that good of a pitcher for all the trouble that he's causing.
Well, I mean, he did win 18 games, Mark, and with a 4.07 ERA. So even if they did score a lot of runs, he didn't give up. It's not like he was an 18-game winner and had a 6.0 ERA. I think he has a lot of potential and a lot of talent, and that's probably why he's here. Because, you know, what he did was awful. But Brian Cashman says – Brian Cashman – It's beyond the point of, like, people jumping all over him. I think Brian's very secure in his own skin. He said, you know what? If we got rid of him, somebody else was going to give him a chance. So he said, the Yankees are giving him a chance. That's the business. It's a business. Arms are very, very valuable. And as Luke Voit said about Germán, he's on thin ice. Makes another mistake, he's gone. But believe me, if the Yankees said, okay, that's it, we're done, Brian also said he served his time, and Major League Baseball said now he can play again. He says not like we just in the middle of a suspension are pitching him. He served the time that Major League Baseball said that he had to serve. He said, and in terms of us like not getting a handle on how the team felt about him or what he was going to say to the team, he said we weren't allowed to talk to him. We could not talk to him the entire time he was suspended. We were not allowed. We had no contact with him until spring training. Let's go to Earl in Brooklyn. Earl.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Earl?
I got a question on how you guys feel about the McDermott plateau what he said about the plantation. I've been a referee for 15 years, Division One, and for him to come out and say something that like that as a mentor, as a teacher, I just want your take on that. And another thing, Mike, if you bring Peter and Don on to help you call a Yankees game, I think one of them will go and take your job. So you better watch that.
Wow, really? You think so?
I think Peter's after your job. Yes, Peter's after your job.
Well, no, that's a different thing you're saying, girl. I agree he's after my job, but there's not an alternate universe that exists where he would get my job.
Oh, that's not right.
You're going to be the play-by-play voice of the Yankees on TV.
You said not an alternate universe.
There's not an alternate universe that exists, another plane of existence, where you would take my job.
Well,
there's not another alternate existence that I could take your morning show job.
But you would agree I'd be more likely to take your job than you would be to take mine.
I think with, decades of work and studying, yes, but I could never have your job.
See, that's all I mean. Alternate universe where I started at the very beginning and only wanted to do play-by-play, I believe I could have done it.
All right, an alternate universe where I was, like, really into hip-hop, then I'd be hosting BK in the morning. It wouldn't be Ebro.
Yeah, and I either way, I wouldn't have my name on the show.
The McDermott thing.
The McDermott thing. So we have not mentioned this much, and I think the reason probably is because I'm guessing we all felt the same way. I never had heard of that term, that comparison, that analogy that he used. I'd never heard of. If you missed it, the coach of Creighton told his players after a game, "You can't leave the plantation. Whatever you do, you can't leave the plantation." It was in a word, troubling. I did not understand it. I would have been offended if I was a black or white player and heard the someone say that. Maybe because he said he'd never said it before. Maybe he used the wrong word. But you can't really gamble with that. You have to go with he said something that is patently offensive.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. He tried to hand in his resignation, and the players talked him out of it.
Right. I've been listening to Keyshawn and Jay Will and Zubin driving the kids to school every day.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, as a white man, I can't say what if that's offensive to a black person. It's obviously a terrible choice of words. But Keyshawn's take is, and you could hear them from 8 to 10 every Monday through Friday on 98.7. Keyshawn's take was, that's not the first time you've ever said it. He said, people that say racist things, that's not the first time they've ever said it. He doesn't believe that. White and black people. But Jay Will said, you also have to look at the body of the work that he's done. And has he ever done anything like this before? Has he ever said anything like this before? Has he ever been accused of anything like this before in his long career? And the answer is no. So Jay Will is saying, he should be punished, but should his career be ended and be fired? He's not quite sure it should go to that level. So right now, Creighton has suspended him. They have not said how long it's going to be. I wouldn't be shocked if he's coaching in the Big East tournament. But the final game of the season, he's suspended. But there's no other way to paint it. It's an objectionable word. It's a dumb choice of words. I don't know if there's any hate behind it. I don't know the guy. But there are white players on the team, and he's saying it too to them.
I know this may sound surprising to people given how disgusted I am by any racism or perceived racism. If you listen to the show and you know how I feel about that stuff, I do think we have a problem though. We throw out the word racist instantly to be this defining term where, like, if you're called that, it's all you are. There's nothing else. There's no room for change. You are a racist and that's it. And I don't believe that. I've known people who have evolved in their views on homosexuality, who've evolved on their views on race, who've evolved on their views of trans issues. I've known people who've evolved in all those ways. So I don't like just labeling. And I think, Keyshawn makes a good point. The players know this guy. So, he should serve whatever punishment they dole out. But if the players don't want him to leave and they don't believe him to be that person, I mean, certainly they'd have a better view of it than we do.
Well, to get the story right, it says McDermott said on Creighton's pregame radio show Wednesday before he coached the Blue Jays against Villanova that he offered to resign over his comments. He said the players did not ask him to resign.
Mm.
I guess.
Oh, so we don't know if they tried to prevent it either.
I don't think the university wants him to resign because he's allegedly a pretty good coach.
But I guess what you're saying, Peter, there could be. I guess you don't. Not everyone's equal in that sense from being a racist. Like, could he just have been insensitive? But does that mean that he's a racist? Can you say something insensitive or something that comes across as racist, but not necessarily be racist? And if you look at his background, then he's been a really good person, and this is the first time that he has slipped up, you know, publicly saying something like that. Does he deserve the benefit of the doubt, or does he just get automatically thrown into the same category of people that you know deep down in their soul hate black people?
I'll tell you what, though, I'd rather hear. If the audience cares about this, I'd rather hear from black listeners' feelings on how it made them feel rather than the three of us white guys spin it all around over and over again. So, we haven't talked about it much. So if people feel strongly about it either way, give us a call.
You know, at first blush, having heard it, it sounded much more clunky and awkward than hateful. But, again, I wasn't there, and I don't know what the type of person he is.
Right.
I mean, when it was a motivational speech after a loss. You got to keep both feet in, and you keep your feet in the plant. I mean, again, clunky, bad attempt at being Newt Rockne.
It just might have been something that he had heard from his past when, let's face it, maybe 30, 40 years ago, that phrase would not have gotten anybody to blink. And it just was in a reservoir of his mind, and he spit it out, and if having a chance to do it again, he wouldn't have done it. But that's where we get to that line, because let's face it, guys, there's – that word plantation did not have the same effect even 10 years ago.
And the word plantation is still used, by the way. There's a Hilton Head plantation, Hilton Head and Bluffton plantations. It's a word that's commonly used in the South. I don't think it has the same connotation as it did when plantations used to have slaves on them.
Listen, ultimately, like I said, we're three white guys. It's more important to know how black people feel about this.
Right. That's why I gave you what Key and Jay Wilt thought, because I think that's more important than us.
But I will say this. You know, you have to judge things on people. This is regardless not a black-white thing. This is every issue. Every issue when it comes down to sensitive subjects. I'm not some big person who screams about cancel culture because I think sometimes, first of all, I think it's overstated and people don't really get canceled that often. We say people get canceled. They rarely do. But occasionally it's warranted and someone's been doing terrible things forever. And you know what? Enough is enough. We have other times, though, when we jump down people's throat without looking at who they were entirely as a human being. So I don't know this dude. Honestly, I don't pay attention to Creighton basketball.
Right.
So what do we know? But I will tell you, if I was in a room these days and it was me, a couple other white dudes, and a bunch of black dudes, and someone was repeatedly saying, stay on the plantation, I would definitely look over at my teammates to be like,
of course,
that feels weird.
But does that What's automatically that make him David Duke?
No, exactly. And that's why you have to look at the whole thing.
Right. And that's why there's nuance and there's the quality of human being and all that. And that's why, and some people, let's face it, some people deserve the benefit of the doubt and some don't.
And by the way, there's some other one. There's a million other stories we've heard that are completely cut and dry, and I wouldn't be saying this about. If during his speech he'd gotten mad at one of his players and used a racial slur, get him out of the school immediately. Nice. That is not even up for conversation. But when it's a word that's being used in a way that connotes something, it does open it up to a conversation that I think needs to be a little bit more broad.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll take phone calls on this. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We're on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.